A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Which one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
I'm always a sucker for emotional post-match scenes at a sporting event. And when those scenes involve one of our regulars on the Second Captain's podcast, you can be sure, Murph, that I am hooked right in.
I know where this is going.
Yeah, on Saturday, Jamie Wall managed Mary Eye to Fitzgibbon Cup glory against the mighty University of Limerick, derailing UL's plans for 3 in a row. And afterwards, he shared a long and quite beautiful embrace with one of his backroom team, Podge Collins, former All-Ireland winner with Clare, dual player of great distinction, Hurler of the Year nominee. Podge is also a first cousin of Jamie's, and the two of them will be on the podcast. The podcast,
yeah. That
later
be, yeah.
Today. Welcome to the show. It was a beautiful moment.
It was. It really was. And obviously, I was sitting in and watching it and getting like a little more emotionally involved in it than I thought I would, to be honest. I mean, short of actually playing in a Fitzgibbon Cup final, I think this is about as emotionally involved as I was ever going to be. And having started brilliantly, and they really did start brilliantly, they were real. UL got a goal late on. Garrod O'Connor, who's obviously been tearing up trees for the Tip senior hurlers in the league so far this year, got a goal late on the first half, and it just had that feeling where everything kind of, Mary Eye had played so brilliantly, they go in with like a 4-point lead when it should have been closer to 9 or 10. UL go, have a brilliant third quarter, go 2 points up, and it just looked kind of, it kind of looked like it was nearly over, you know. But to be fair to Podge and Jamie, they moved Shane O'Brien out from full forward out towards the middle. That was a huge moment in the game. Kind of swung the game back in their favour, actually, and they hung on. They were fully deserving winners and all the rest, but it was still up for debate right up until the final puck of the ball. So no one had any chance to kind of mentally prepare or emotionally prepare yourself for for the final whistle, because you're just lost in the moment of the whole thing. And then when the final whistle went, we all saw the scene. I mean, I see that it's been like 20,000 times on Instagram or whatever.
We've tweeted it there.
Yeah, and it is an amazing, just absolutely amazing moment. Richly deserved.
They would have been underdogs as well, big underdogs.
Well, just look at the size of the two campuses, really, more so than anything else. I mean, I know Jamie would have spoken to me in October, November, and he was very upbeat about their chances this year. Like, he did actually think right from early on that they would go very close in the Fitzgibbon. But at the same time, you're up against UL, vastly bigger campus. They've already won it back to back. They pulled
a small bit of snobbery.
Yeah, I mean, that is not Jamie Wall talking about any of his Fitzgibbon Cup opponents. UL would have beaten University of Galway, who had a star-studded team again this year as well in their semi-final. So, I mean, they would have been seen to be up against it. I don't think that's how Jamie thought, and I'd be interested to hear whether that's how Podge thought. But yeah, I mean, it's a David and Goliath story, and it is. Like, every time Mary I are in the Fitzgibbon Cup, really, when you look at the other colleges that are in there, UCD, UCC, UL, these are all massive, massive universities.
Yeah, well, so he's got the slingshot out every year, it seems. That's the third time that they've won the competition. Jamie's been involved, the management team, All three occasions.
All three times.
Manager twice and on the backroom team the first time.
Yeah, selector with Damon Cregan in 2016 for their first ever win. And yeah, I mean, it is. And these are incredibly difficult competitions to win. And when you think of the challenges that are presented week on week, I mean, he lost one of his best players, Declan McLaughlin from Galway, who broke a finger, broke a bone in his hand, playing for Galway against Westmeath, like in the National League, you know? And you're just like, you know, does that kid need to be playing against Westmeath? You know, Galway beating them by 30 points or whatever. So there's all this sort of like, toing and froing with intercounty managers. Like, to be fair, Brian Lowen rested all three of his players last week. Adam Hogan, Shane Meehan, Jeremy Ryan. I think they were all named to start. None of them actually started for Clare. So, you know, like there's give and take there, but you're dealing with young fellas who are going through like this, a vast and sometimes completely unconnected to each other set of challenges, you know, moving away from home for the first time, you know, money problems, course problems, the whole lot. So it is quite a unique job to be a third level college's coach, and it does throw up a unique set of challenges to anything else that's in the GAA. But it's also like the quality of hurling is, despite the underfoot conditions and the rain that it seems to be every Fitzgibbon Cup game ever played, I mean, the quality of hurler on show is just ridiculous. And you look at that 2017 team that Jamie won the Fitzgibbon Cup with, like Aaron Gallan, Keane Lynch, all these guys, like just like massive figures in the game. So you are dealing with a level just below the intercounty scene. So the standard of hurler is huge, but the breadth of challenges is also kind of unrivaled.
Mary Immaculate College, to give Mary I its full name.
So I'm sure, not again, no.
I'm sure both Jamie and Podge are aware that the Immaculate Conception refers to the conception. Should we ask them this?
Yeah,
The conception of Mary and not of Jesus. A fact we only discovered 2 weeks ago, thanks to our World Service.
Well, now it seems we can't avoid mention of the Immaculate Conception.
Jamie on with Pod Collins in a couple of minutes, knocking our new double world champion, Daniel Whiffen, into also-ran status on today's pod. Whiffen was named best male swimmer. Also swam status. Whiffen was named best male swimmer at the World Championships. Not too surprising after he backed up his 800 metre gold by absolutely decimating the field to win gold in the 1500 metres freestyle yesterday, more than 10 seconds clear of his nearest rival. Literally looks like he's swimming his own race going by. There's one photo in particular that was doing the rounds, and it is only him in the frame.
Yeah.
And a lot of clear water behind him with no other athletes in shot.
Which, you know, putting that level of distance between you and your opponents in a world final is pretty, pretty outrageous.
The Olympic champion wasn't competing, and one or two other big names weren't in it. Mm. The world champion was knocked out in the heat, but still, it's a world final field, and it looked for a while like he might be on for a world record as well. He finished 3 seconds outside that in the end. Got to say, feel a bit shortchanged by his post-match comments. Just by his own usually highly quotable standards. He says, I had a little bet with my coach about whether I'd set a personal best or not. But that was it. Go out a bit faster than everyone else. Be in my own lane. Swim my own race. Get out ahead. Really focus on what I wanted to do. That's fine. It's not quite as bombastic as last year when he talked about how he'd smashed the 800 metre world record without even properly training to do it. I don't want him to get less bombastic the more actual world level success he has.
Yeah, I mean, he talked a big game, and now that he's actually walking the walk, swimming the swim, he's decided to roll back on the bombastic comments. I mean, it seems a little wrong-headed to me, Owen. He's got this all wrong.
For the first time in this league campaign, tomorrow on the World Service, we're going to have Flynn and Murph, the other Murph, that's Michael Murphy.
Big Murph.
Reunited. So be sure to be a member to hear that one on secondcaptains.com. €5 a month plus VAT. Right now we're talking hurling.
It was totally insane. Jesus Christ. Oh my God, it's coming back to me now. Oh my God.
What happened?
After the game, I came back on the metro from the stadium to Nevsky Prospect.
It was like basically Russian Arthur's Day.
They're all beating their horns. They like rev their engines. You've got terror of death. You think you're going to die. Loads of people had these balloons of what I assumed was laughing gas.
Hippie crack. Raheem Sterling, hippie crack.
I was sorely tempted. I was like, I really should try laughing gas. What happens if I fall over and hit my head? And then I watched as a girl took a great big
out of this balloon, right? this balloon. And sort of went, and was sort of giggling. And then just eyes rolled back in the head, and she just fell backwards, like, poof. Couple of minutes after that, so this time a man, probably 30-ish, pitched forward onto his face. I thought, oh my god, I can't believe this just happened again. Smashed down onto the concrete with his chin. He'll never chew normally again. He's gonna be half dead. But in fact, again, he was all right. Old titanium jaw. What a night. What a city.
We have got the Fitzgibbon Cup-winning managerial dream team on the show. Jamie, congrats.
Thanks, Owen. Sound.
Podge, well done.
Thanks, Owen.
We've all been seeing the emotional post-match scenes, Jamie. How nice was that to share the moment with each other?
Yeah, it was unreal. Like, it was, I didn't actually know where he was. After the whistle went, I was just staring out at PJ and praying to God that Keenan would blow it up. And next thing your man came running up the field doing the Shooter McGavin double pistols. So yeah, it was unreal. It was savage. Like, it was just, it was like, it wasn't expected or anything like that. Like, in terms of, like, I didn't quite know where he was or whatever, but it was just it was great to have him there beside you.
What are your exact recollections of that, Podge, that moment?
I don't know. Obviously we'd high expectations for the team, but when the final whistle goes, and we were talking about this last night, it's rare that a competition is over. Generally, you're not going on to Munster, you're not going on to an All-Ireland situation. It's an All-Ireland medal, it's finished. So to, I suppose, come out on the right end, it was just pure joy, really. And obviously, I was down the corner flag. I don't know what I was doing. Just hoping and praying that we'd keep him out. And I wanted to just get to Jamie as quick as I could, really, because we'd put a lot of time into it this year. So it was nice to share that moment at the final whistle.
You can probably say it because he won't, Podge. How good a manager is this fella anyway?
He's unbelievably knowledgeable on how to deal with, like, people and players. I just couldn't speak highly enough of how he's managed this group. Like, some of the stuff just coming off, I suppose I was lucky enough to play intercounty for a good few years, and coming away from that and getting involved in a Fitzgibbon setup, it's like chalk and cheese. Like, it's a completely different situation, and his understanding of that and his knowledge of that and how to deal with players that are on intercounty panels and club players and lads that it might be their first year playing, like, at a kind of senior level, is just unbelievable. His awareness of each person's situation is probably what makes him so special as a manager, and I think that's why the lads respond so well to him.
I think tactically as well, we've heard enough from you over the years, Jamie. I think you know your hurling, it's fair to say, so.
Show us
your medals is what our listeners might say, and you can.
Well, do you know what? I haven't got too many of them. That's probably why yesterday was so special. Like Podge was saying there, like we have a kind of phrase that, you know, at the end of the year, everyone's crying into their pints, bar one group, like, and that's probably why you know, like, it's hard to win a championship, like, you know, that's why the phrase "show me your medals" is there. Like, it's so hard to actually win them, like, and I think sport, like, for most. Unless you're, like, you know, Ballygunner at the moment, or like Man United in the 90s or stuff like that, like, it's so rare that you actually have prolonged success. Like, so, like, it's actually, you know, the moments are rare, like, and you just have to enjoy them. Like, so, yeah, like I said, you were saying, show me your medals. that could be a short conversation of only two or three of them.
You were, even in this game, I mean, it seemed like you were made a flying start, conceded a goal before halftime, a couple of points behind late on to the back-to-back champions going for three in a row. So you were put through the ringer, it's fair to say, by your players.
Yeah, well, look, like, in fairness, like, they've had unbelievable starts all year in every game, nearly. Like, we've started well most days. So, like, that was no surprise. And I suppose, look, we won the toss, we went with the breeze. There was a significant win there, like, and the boys' shooting was excellent for the first couple of minutes. And then, like, we hit one wide, and next thing I'd say we must have hit six or seven, like, in a row. Like we were that inch or two away from potentially being much further ahead at halftime. And we were probably disappointed at halftime to have been pegged back a bit, but, like, equally, like, look, like, they were going for three in a row. They had won all their games so far. Like, they were in the final. Like, they had kind of, we'll say, they had reeled in UCC and NUIG in the previous two games, where, like, they probably were in a similar sticky situations, like, and just that kind of that know-how of having won, it was kind of, it maybe was standing to them, like. But I think, like, Kyle Quinn won a free for us when we were two down, and that was just like, that was, it was because it was, he had no right to win the ball day one. The ball was just zipped at him, and like, and he won it and won a free, and it was just, it was unreal, like. And just things like that, like, kind of just turned the tide. To turn the tide back again was great, because, like, I think for, like, you know, for an we're like the bookies underdogs anyway, like, our lads, you know, we said to them all week that it wouldn't be a surprise to anyone in the room, in that room, when we won. But, you know, when you've got your start and you've had your lead, and then you kind of get pegged back and you even go behind, like, it'd be so easy to just wilt, like. But the lads just never did, like. So that was probably the most, that was the most pleasing thing, like, because, like, it would have been very pleasing to have kicked on and maybe won by a bit more, which we kind of felt maybe we could have, like. But actually to show that grit in the way they did, like, it made it very special, like.
Mary I against UL, Podge, is David against Goliath stuff, really. When you look at the student numbers, you look at, I mean, it's not that UL have won a ton of these, but this would have been, I think, their 10th title. But they were obviously back-to-back champions. Like, paint us a picture of just how small Mary I is in comparison to UCC, UCD, UL, the University of Galway, these places, who have huge student numbers.
Yeah, Jamie would probably be better to talk about, I suppose, the size of Mary I and what an intimate college it is, that it's more like a secondary school, really, than a college. I went to UL myself. But what I would say about it is, when you put that Mary I team down on paper, and we did it at the start of the year, me and Jamie, like, I was very surprised with how these lads were underdogs throughout the year, because of such quality on the sheet. Obviously, like, primary teaching, secondary teaching, it's a job that's conducive, really, to being an intercounty player. You've summers off, you finish work, or, like, whatever, 3 or 4 o'clock. I know you have to do lesson plans and everything goes with it, but a lot of intercounty players are teachers. So a lot of intercounty players did go up to Mary I. So we're very fortunate with the group we had. And I know, like, the David and Goliath story, we were complete underdogs by the bookies, but we thought ourselves that we'd every chance, well, me and Jamie definitely did anyway, and that we'd every chance to win the competition at the start of the year with the players we have. Like, there's unbelievable players on the squad. Lads with plenty of intercounty experience. Lads that are going to have massive intercounty careers as well. So, that's what I nearly feel sorry for UL in that sense, that it going into the game, like, they were such favourites.
I don't.
Yeah, I lost LIT 10 years ago, and I still hear about the game. I was playing with UL at the time, and LIT were complete underdogs, and they had Tony Kelly, they caught him back, they had a few excellent hurlers. And going into yesterday's game, like, we had just as good a hurlers at UL, I thought, anyway, going into it, I thought we'd every chance of winning it, and I was glad we did. But I didn't think UL should have been as favoured as they were, so I was delighted.
Yeah, you look, Jamie, at the 2017 team, the last Mary I team that you coached to Fitzgibbon. You had Keane Lynch, Aaron Galan, Richie English, Darrow Donovan, Ronan Maher, Colm Galvin, Tom Monaghan.
Is it fair to say anyone could have managed those guys?
I was just going to say I should have been sacked if I didn't win the Fitz with that team.
But you do kind of look at those names, you know. Is this year's team going to have that kind of impact on the game nationally? Because I'm trying to put myself basically in, you know, my shoes in 2017. And, like, yeah. You know, would I have looked on, well, Keane Lynch, Aaron Glenn, like, these guys, you know, they can't miss as players. Because it seems to me that this is kind of a different kind of team. You obviously had Jermot Ryan, you had Shane Meehan, like, who are obviously have played a good bit with Clare. But maybe not that spread of big names.
I think, like, what it is, Murph, is that, like, I think intercounty hurling, and, like, Podge can speak to this probably better than me because he's not too long out of senior intercounty football and hurling. But I think the age profile is going up slightly. And, like, guys, like, we're not going to see as many fellas breaking in at the slightly younger ages just because the conditioning has gone through the roof. Like, you know, like, I mean, I was saying it there in the car out, like, I came out this morning to Podge's house, a little bit worse for wear. But I was saying it to him, like they're monsters these days. Like even the young fellas, like, and like they've, and they're only starting into their kind of journey at that thing. Like a few of them, like I've kind of giving them pats in the back and stuff yesterday, and I was kind of saying, Jesus Christ, I'm getting a fistful of muscle here in your man's back. Like, but like they're slightly, like, I think senior county players are slightly older now. Like I think they're 23, 24 is a lot of guys breaking in now, whereas maybe back then, like, fellas were getting in a small bit younger and that, like, so it'll remain to be seen. But like, I mean, there's guys in our group there that I think have really high ceilings. Like, now look, like I always hear, like, you know, I think it's you talk about it sometimes, like, you know, you'd be talking about young players in soccer and stuff, and you'd be saying, like, you know, people make this assumption that, like, just because he's young and good that he'll only improve. It's like, well, no, like some fellas, you know, some fellas peak at 23, 24, like, you know, so it's like some fellas, it's not always a linear path. Like, but I do think, like, if a lot of those guys, like you mentioned, Dermot and Meehan and Adam have obviously played a good bit of a senior at the moment, but like Shane O'Brien hasn't played senior yet, like, and like he's got, like, he could do anything, like he's got the potential to go and do anything. Carl Quinn in midfield as well, like these guys, like, you know, you never know what young fellas, you never know the way they'll go, like, but I mean, if these guys were to continue the path that they're on, like, in 2-3 years time, like, I think they're going to have a huge impact on the game, like, so, like, yeah, like, I think you look back to that team now in hindsight and you say, you know, Jesus, like, how couldn't you win a competition with them? But to be fair, like, it was probably only Ronan and Galvin really at that point who were and Keane, obviously, who were actually playing senior inter-county. Like, a lot of them guys were in a similar position to what our lads are now, where they're right on that kind of precipice of, you know, like, trying to use these things as a launch pad, really. Like, and that's why, you know, that's one of the many things that I love about the competition is, like, you're never surprised when you see the guys who come through at senior inter-county, because you've been watching them, you know, step from, we'll say, Harty Cup or Croke Cup up into 20s, into Fitzgibbon. And it's like, you know, you're seeing these guys and you're seeing the guys that drop off, but you're also seeing the guys that keep improving and keep making it. Like, and that's something that's really, it's really enjoyable to be part of, to be a small part of that journey with some of them, you know, and you do your best to try and help them along it. Like, but even to know the other ones in the other colleges, and you're saying, like, you know, you're looking at, we'll say, you know, for example, Gavin Lee in University of Galway. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing if he makes the jump senior in the next year or two with Galway, because I think he's a super player, you know. And it's like, it gives you that kind of knowledge of those players, like, that it's really satisfying to have when you're as interested in it and as much of a kind of nerd about it as myself and Podge can be.
Let's talk about the two of you. Podge, were you guys are always close growing up, yeah?
Yeah. Our mothers would have been very close, so we would have been on holidays together. We would have visited each other regularly, so spent a lot of time together.
I take it hurling would have been a big part of things, would it? Your bond?
Yeah, hurling, soccer, football, any sports, really. Sports was always a big part of it. Playing games against each other and all that kind of crack.
You played against each other at under 14 with Podge at corner back. Jamie, heard you couldn't get a score off him.
Yeah, you heard that from Podge. He's telling that story now. Well, it's like, you know, if you tell a story enough of times, like, you start to believe it yourself. Yeah, look, I think we've had that argument enough of times now. We'll just let him have his version, and I'll keep mine. But yeah, I think
Podge's version is that he'd been moved off you by the time you went on your late scoring spree. Is that right?
Late, yeah, exactly. Yeah, garbage time. 1-1 garbage time after Podge has gone off. Apparently, that's the story he's telling anyway. Look, sure, like, we're old men now. That's 17 years ago. So I'd say we're going to have to consign that one to the history books. But like, I think his career as a hurler might have it went to another level when he got out of cornerback. Anyway, he did his more of his damage up the field.
Why did you want to get Podge involved on your management team?
Because he's very good, basically. Like, there was no sentiment to it, really, in that sense. Like, he lives local enough to the college. Like, I mean, his house now, looking out at the best view in the County Clare. Like, but he's only 10 minutes from Mary Eye. Both his parents went to Mary Eye, same as my mum. He gets it, he knows, but like, also, like, he's got a really good hurling brain. Like, he, you know, like, we talk a lot about hurling, too much about hurling, probably. Like, we overanalyze, overthink, overtalk. Like, you know, he's a guy who, you know, like, I would say, like, he's been involved in so many good setups between, like, you know, Donald Maloney and Jerry. Paul Kinnark, obviously, with Davey that time. He's an All-Ireland, he's an All-Star. Like, and I've seen the journey he went on as well as a player, like, because he wasn't, like, you know, like, he wasn't this guy who was like Tony Kelly, who, you know, we all knew, or Keane Lynch, we all knew was going to make it, like, do you know what I mean? Like, he was dropped off that under-14 panel, if I remember correctly, after. Like, he didn't make that, like, he only made it by under-16. And then by minor, he had kicked on to be centre-forward. And then within 2 years, he was playing senior, like, do you know? And I saw, like, I saw the way he went after that, and I just thought, like, they're the guy who, like, they're the kind of guys I think who make good coaches, like, and good managers, is because they get, you know, like, they actually get the work that goes into it, like, because they've put that work in. Whereas, like, maybe sometimes your mercurial talents from day one that, like, you know, that never had to struggle for anything or never had to work at the thing, don't understand things as much as guys like that who literally make themselves into, like, he made himself into a Hurler of the Year nominee, you know. So, like, that's the kind of guy he was as a player, like, and I just knew well that that was the way he was going to be as a coach as well, like, you know.
How have you found it, Podge, the coaching side of things?
I love it. It's as close as you get to, like, it's very hard to replicate as a player, that winning feeling or being involved in a great win with a team. So it just, it's such a hard thing to lose when you go away from it. And it's the closest that thing that I've got to it anyway yesterday. Like, the buzz at the final whistle is just, even every win this year, and I was talking to a few of the players during the week, and they were just like, geez, the group is closer than ever. And I know it's kind of from being around a good while and being around teams, when teams win, like, I remember our Clare Minor team or Schools 15s team, like, we went on a winning streak there, we won the White Cup, and the minor team, we got to the All-Ireland final. The bond you create from winning games, the same in the club, when we're winning games, everyone gets closer, everyone's that bit happier, the crack is better, it's unbelievable. But it's the joy you get out of it, just being involved, that setup, being involved with the lads, being involved with Jamie, it's the closer you get to it as a player, been involved in coaching. So it was very special. It's great day.
I think it's like, it's a very, like, we've spoken about this, so, like, it's a very different kind of satisfaction, like it's like you sit back after winning as a manager or a coach or a selector, like, and you kind of just have a kind of quiet smile to yourself because you think, like, yeah, that's gone well, like, whereas as a player, like, it's a bit more innocent, and there's a bit more kind of, like, I was slagging Posh during the week, he was saying there's no way we're going to lose, and I was kind of saying, ah, just you wait, you do a couple of years in this racket and that bit of innocence and naivety will be gone off, believe me. But, like, it is, like, it's a different, like, it, believe me, the losses hurt more, but, like, it's a really different kind of satisfaction, I think, as a coach or a selector, as a manager, like, you kind of, you can take a kind of a different kind of pride, and, like I said, satisfaction, like, smug satisfaction is kind of the way of looking at it, I think, like, sometimes, you know.
The Fitzgibbon Cup, Jamie, was where your coaching career began, under Eamon Cregan first, who was the manager in 2016 when Mary I won their first Fitzgibbon Cup, and he brought you in as a former Mary I player, and then Cregan announced he was leaving after winning it in 2016. The players asked you to step up, and you've had this success, but the Fitzgibbon kind of was where maybe you found out that you actually were an excellent coach, and this was a thing that you could pursue and do. So, I mean, I don't want to overstate it, but it does sound like, for a variety of reasons, this is a hugely important tournament for you.
Oh yeah, look, personally, it's massive. Like, it is, like I said it yesterday, it's my favorite, Saturday, the days are kind of blending into one, but it's my favorite competition in the GAA, like, and I get there's loads of different reasons to like other ones, but there's something kind of really raw and kind of pure about it. Like, it's kind of, it's just, it's always been, and even, like, to be honest with you, like, it was 2013 when I was a player, playing on that team with the likes of Declan Hannan and John Conlon and Luca Farrell and Conor Cooney, Brian O'Haller, and these lads, like, that was what kind of bit, like, that was when the bug bit me about the Fitz, like, and then, you know, like, I suppose it was the same with the football team in college as well, like, you know, we just had such, you got so close with lads, and, like, I suppose I saw, we'll say, the other side of life where maybe things go against you a small bit in personal circumstances, but, like, the guys who step up are actually those guys that, you know, were your teammates and your friends, and they're the kind of, they're the bonds that kind of, that it creates, and I think, like, that's probably why it was the easiest one for me to go and get involved in day dot, like we say, when I started into kind of doing a bit of coaching and doing those kind of things. Like, it's like from the start, like working with Eamon, obviously I played under Eamon and then worked with him as a selector, and like he actually told us that morning before the final, he just kind of said, like, he said, I'm done, this is it, like, he kind of, I think he felt sick, he was just like, no, this is it for me, like, and like, it was unreal then to take over from him. And like, I've been blessed, Kieran, like, in terms of like the last 7-8 years at it. Like, I've had, obviously this year I've Podge and Mark Jennery and Scotty, Aidan Scott with me this year, three great fellows like involved. But like, down through the last couple of years, I've had different guys like Conor O'Brien, Cormac McGrath, Dinny Ferncombe, Owen Cleary, Aaron Gillan, different lads get involved and stuff. And like, they've brought so much to it every different year like that. Like, I'm constantly learning from them and just enjoying doing that. Like, and I suppose it's just been, it's been something that's just been like, it's just been a real pleasure like to do. And like, I think the other thing as well, like, and I shouldn't understate this, like, is like getting to work with players of that caliber. Like, you know, like, was it Brian Clough said about, like, he's like, nonsense about tactics. Like, you know, he's like, I think he said players lose you games, but like, I'd always say players win you games. Like we can blow ourselves up a bit too much. I think like if you don't have the players, you're at nothing. Like, and just the pleasure you get out of working with guys who are as good as them fellas. Like, you know, like even the last 5-6 minutes of the game yesterday, where like Keith Ryan was just popping it back to Jason Gillan in goal, and he was just standing there, you know, giving a little 10-yard ball, like, and there's like the fat is in the fire, and lads, like, everyone's losing their heads, and the lads are just as cool as a breeze. Like, and I just think being involved with guys at that level is just such a pleasure. Like, so, like, really, like, you know, like, I could sit here and try and take a victory lap, whatever, like, but like, it's all about the players, like, and it always has been.
Players lose you games, not tactics. There's so much crap talked about tactics by people who barely know how to win at dominoes, is what Brian Clough said. Apparently, after
I'd like a more positive spin on that.
Yeah,
players
win like
you
that.
Games. Yeah.
Yeah.
Players negative as fluffy.
Yeah, fair enough. What about, is coaching in your future, Podge? Well, obviously in your present, but is that where you see yourself? Do you see yourself on the management side of things? Are you better suited to coaching? What's kind of firing your guns at the moment?
I don't know. I like the Fitzgibbon competition is very conducive to a club player that's interested, because I suppose the club season is kind of starting off now, the league is starting in a couple of weeks. Championship starts obviously August time, then it ends whenever it does end, like as far as you go. So it fits into that nice kind of calendar, November, December, January, February. It fits into those months where a club isn't like to the forefront, you're not training every second night. So it's good that you can put your time into training the lads or coaching the lads or getting involved with them. So at the moment, like, the Fitzgibbon competition is definitely more suited while I want to play with the club for as long as I can, I suppose. But I don't think about it too much. I'm very fortunate to be involved with these lads this year, and just concentrate now on Cratlow hurling and football for the next 6, 7, 8 months, hopefully.
Yeah, the Fitzgibbon's also very conducive to GAA podcast punditry, Jamie.
It is.
Are we going to be?
I've noticed that.
Are we going to be losing you to the intercounty game anytime soon?
I'm looking for the Ireland job. I think that's the one.
Well, you might get it at this rate.
they might come looking. Jesus. I'd say no. Look, I've kind of, it's well documented, I've said it in the last while that I'm after starting work finally at the ripe old age of 31. I was telling Murph I've finally started a 9-to-5 kind of job inside in the South Mall in Cork. So in RDJ solicitors there, so that's my immediate plans now are to kind of get my feet in the door there. They've been very good to me in terms of a bit of time off and stuff over the last couple of weeks, so I need to pay that back. And I think any sort of other coaching ambitions are going to be just kind of quietly shelved for a small while, and we'll just keep learning. When I was a player before, I used to have probably too much so, like, have thinking like, oh, if I'm not here at this age and there at this age, then I'm not going to make sure. It's like, you know, you can coach, you can coach for as long as you want, like, yeah, as long as you're willing to keep learning about the game and stuff. So I'm not in any rush. You can, like, Oisín McConville could be back as well, because he could be in the dock for 6 months disciplinary the way he's carrying on.
Yeah.
So we could all be back.
Listen, Jamie, Podge, great stuff. Congratulations again. Well done.
Sound. Thanks, Owen. Thanks, Murph.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information, information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Lion. 51551 is our text number, and Joe at RT.ie from wherever you are in the world. Ken, good afternoon.
How are you?
You saw it. What happened?
I mean, I actually was abused by a Dane as well.
Mm-hmm.
The night before.
Go ahead.
I was having dinner after the you know, we finished our work or whatever on the Friday, went into town. We were sitting in a restaurant.
You were a journalist and
myself and three other journalists.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, it turned out we were all looking at our phones simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
We were waiting in a bill or something. Mm-hmm. And this Danish guy staggered up from behind sort of suddenly leaned over the table and he goes,
"Go ahead.
Is there a Wi-Fi? Is there a Wi-Fi in here?"
The whole thing, Ken, the whole thing is getting more and more bizarre. You didn't do it, did you? Did you report that to the FAI already?
We were like, actually, we're just still on the 3G. Mm-hmm. Before we could finish explaining, we weren't actually on the Wi-Fi. He goes, "Wi-Fi wankers! You're all Wi-Fi wankers!"
Did he write this himself? Did he compose this line himself?
You know, all he'd seen was four. I don't know how he knew we were Irish, but he knew.
Wi-Fi
wankers! Mm-hmm. You're all Wi-Fi wankers!
We've had a number of concerned World Service members getting in touch since I made the following on-air reference last week while discussing Bellewstown Primary School's unforgettable soccer-style goal at Croke Park in the 1986 Fingal League final. We have received an irate message from friend of the show, Mark Horgan. So just to ease everyone's fears.
Wow, this is a full-on on-air apology.
Well, I've apologised privately in group chat settings, but apparently one more is required.
Friend of the show.
Was there an effect on that?
Yeah.
So just to ease everybody's fears, right?
Wow.
No, Mark Horgan has not left Second Captains. No, he has not been demoted to friend of the show status, even though it sounds a lot like he has been demoted to friend of the show.
I mean, those were literally your words.
I do realise I made him sound a bit like Julian Luke Jensen there.
Owen, you're amazing.
Or LeVar Ball.
Owen McDevitt, what's going down, man? It's the big ball up, baby.
All right, LeVar. It's all good, thanks. It was meant as a gag, Murph, as sort of a send-up of the whole friend of the show trope that you hear
still,
a lot.
Though, it backfired badly.
Yeah, partly because...
You're having to crawl in here on your hands and knees and beg for forgiveness.
Listening back, I feel I didn't deliver it in the way I intended to. I'm kicking myself on that one, Murph. You could have dug me out by maybe reacting in some way rather than just sitting there.
Well, I was shocked. I mean, I had to double check. Had I missed an email? I mean, you know, was there something on Teams that I'd missed? You know, was there like a Zoom meeting that I'd just slept through or something? We should also say that Brano is not Mark Horgan's replacement. I mean, a lot of people were giving Brano
a
lot of grief that, you know, would you hop in his grave as quick, kind of that sort of stuff from
Dublinification
Brano.
Of the show.
Absolutely. Nothing could be further from the truth.
So to Mark and to anyone who may have been offended by this segment,
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Is that going to be enough, do you reckon? I mean, he's downstairs. I can just go and check now. Everything's cool.
No, I think you're probably... some low-grade passive-aggressive remarks for another week and then you should probably be all right.
Graham Murphy emails, "Hey lads, your chats this week about the abomination of soccer skills being inflicted upon the eyes of pure Gaels brought me back to the long, hot summer of 1995. Our minor team, Glencar Manor Hamilton..." And there's a double-barreled name for you.
Well, it's Leitrim Behemoths.
They were playing their neighbours and North Leitrim rivals Drumahaire. As most of the members of both teams were in school together, there was a fair amount of bragging rights available to the winner. As the match progressed, we were winning well and already guaranteed to be the North Leitrim under-18 kingpins for the year when, as was the style at the time, a long hopeful ball was launched in towards the edge of the square. You don't get them anymore, Murphy. It's all percentages.
You'd get the odd few.
Our full forward, Mark Rooney, who was adept at the...
Rooney!
Well, yeah, who was as adept at the foreign code as he was at Gaelic, rose like a salmon and directed a bullet header over the Drumahaire bar. Cue consternation on the sideline amongst the members of both management teams, uproarious laughter among the players on both teams, and a long and loud questioning of the legality of the score among the meagre number of supporters who travelled to witness this gargantuan clash. Nonetheless, the referee awarded the point, but the feeling remained among many that the hallowed field had been soiled and potentially nothing less than some class of exorcism might be required to cleanse it again. Tragically, Mark Rooney has since passed following a long battle with cancer, but your chat this week brought back a wonderful memory of him and the long heathen summer of 1995. Love the show, lads. Yours in sport, Graham Murphy. Was that the correct decision? A header?
Allowed? It's absolutely allowed. I mean, if it
feels kind of...
Well, of course,
wrong.
It's obviously wrong. I mean, it does it pass the smell test? Absolutely not, Owen. But... I mean, what rule could... Like, only body parts located below the hip can score points.
Now, I suppose in a sport that's designed to use all parts...
Yeah, I mean,
it's not soccer, but, you know...
Yeah, I mean, your hands are also above your hips. I mean,
in fairness, they do...
I mean, you can just do whatever the hell you like, basically.
If you tried to explain to some people who weren't familiar with the game why you're allowed fist the ball over the bar and not allowed fisting into the goal, that could sound confusing. So the same people might think, well, hang on, why are you allowed to head it? I don't know.
Mm.
But you're saying clearly you are allowed to head the ball.
Yeah.
Can you head the ball into the goal?
Yeah. Yeah,
you can't. Totally certain.
No, you
have
can't.
You ever seen it?
No, I mean, have I ever seen it is another question.
No.
Actually, I think I have seen it. I mean, yeah, I would have seen that in underage games. Yes, I would have. I'm going to say I'm 100% confident that I have seen it, and I'm 100% confident that you're allowed to do it.
Graham, thanks so much for your email. Murph, thank you.
Thank you, Owen.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to sign up to the World Service for build-up to Ireland, Wales and the Six Nations and coverage of the ongoing Irish managerial search. Are you going to sign up for that? There'll be news at some
sign
stage.
Sign up despite that.
Yeah, exactly. When there's an appointment made, I might try and give you the big hard sell at that point. In the meantime, maybe we'll see you tomorrow. Who knows? You will be hearing the podcast ad-free if you become a member. And the Second Caps podcast
is part of
the Acast
Creator
Network.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.